Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. What about this? I'd like to let Mr. Robert Cray play his guitar there a little bit. I'll let him play. Robert Cray is one of the best, ladies and gentlemen. Good music. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm in Boca Raton with the good folks at Office Depot and all their partners and all the ladies here at this Success Strategies Conference for business women. We're having a great time, and I want to introduce you to my new friend, Barbara Corcoran. She's the chairman of the Corcoran Group, and she's also a best-selling author. And I want her to tell you her story because it's a very important one, a very inspirational one, and you're not ever going to forget that you met Barbara Corcoran. Barbara, welcome to the show.
What a build-up. Thanks.
How about that?
I love it.
Welcome. We're glad to have you here, and congratulations on all your success, but also I know the ladies are looking forward to hearing you give your keynote speech today.
Of course. I know. I like nothing better than a big, full room filled up with ladies.
1,100 at least.
Ah,
they're all going to be
scared.
There. And a couple of guys, I think.
Ah, throw them out.
Yeah. You know, last year a lady said, looked at me in a line at the bar, and she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Ma'am, I make this legitimate. Without me, you can't have this. You got to have one token guy." Barbara, you're in the real estate business.
Yes, sir.
You told me 30 years ago when you were only six. And 30 years ago in New York City, a lady starting a real estate business, that was pretty unique, wasn't it?
It was unique then, but, you know, it was the best city in the world to start anything. Because anyone who's visited New York notices one thing about it. It's all about change. So if you want to cause a change, New York's the place to be.
Well, you certainly did. Tell us a little bit about what you were thinking 30 years ago.
I wasn't thinking of anything but waiting on my customers at my counter as a waitress. I had the good fortune of meeting my first boyfriend while I was a waitress, and he gave me the $1,000 to start my business.
Is that right?
Yeah. I kind of slept my way to the top. Sort of.
Okay. Folks, I told you you wouldn't forget Barbara Corcoran. Barbara, what did you do with that $1,000?
Well, $1,000 in those days, which was 1973, was a lot of money.
But still not enough, was it?
Sure, it was enough to stay in business for about a month and a half, provided you were able to make a sale within that first month and a half, which, thank God, I was able to do.
Now, you were selling real estate?
I was selling real estate. Actually, initially, I wasn't even selling. I was renting apartments because that was a better cash flow, an easier deal to make.
You had to get a license.
You have to get a license, but, you know, all you had to do is take a test, like a driving test, basically, and they licensed
not much
you
to
in
it.
Those days. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then what?
Well, I had the very good fortune of having the $1,000, and I also had the good fortune of meeting the right people at the right moment in terms of customers. People called in on my advertising. I got very clever. I learned how to write an ad very well, and I was able to convince my very first landlord to build a wall or a partial wall to separate the dining room from the living room. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but why I wanted that wall there is I was able to compete then in the very large New York Times and advertise a one-bedroom as a one-bedroom and den for the same price. So my phone rang off the hook.
Wow.
And it was legitimately a one-bedroom plus den is how the ad read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to generate the money to pay the bills right from the get-go. Of course, I lived hand-to-mouth for probably the first 8 years, and then for the next 10 years, all of my salespeople made a ton more money than I do, because when you're in sales, you make money. When you're the owner, you're less in line with your little cup jingling, jing, jing, jing.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, you sound like my friend Mark Allen says his five-year plan took 10 years.
Oh, my God. I think mine took a little longer than that, 30 whole years.
Yeah. Then your business evolved and you started doing other things in real estate.
You know what? It was touch and go all the way, as it is for many young people in business. But there's nothing better than desire and sheer need. I needed to meet my bills, and that drove me very, very hard through those first 10 years of business. Actually, after the seventh year of my business, I had a real shock when my boyfriend, who was then my partner and my boyfriend, and I was raising his three children, when he came home one night and announced he was going to marry my secretary. And for me, that was probably the biggest curveball in my business career, although you would think it had nothing to do with business. But it was probably 2 years after that I built up the courage to finally say, no, I can't have your new wife still working for me and running this business. And then I told him I was going to divide the business, and we divvied up the 12 salespeople as though it was a football draw. He picked the first, I picked the second. But he did give me a great gift going out the door, which is he told me I would never succeed without him. And
right?
I don't believe in negative motivation at all. But I must say, for my personality, he could not have given me a better insurance policy.
That was a good swift kick in the pants that you needed, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. And in the worst of times, I would just picture him seeing me fail, and I would drive myself to think of some way to just stay in business.
I've actually had people to tell me that, too, and it's a motivator.
It's terrible, though, isn't it? Insult to motivate.
Well, but, you know, there are small-minded people everywhere, and what you got to do, as you did, is learn how to draw from that.
Oh, draw from it.
And you did that.
Oh.
Yeah.
It brought up all the Irish in my bones.
Right. Okay. What would you like to say to the ladies out there who are listening?
I think I would like them. So many people today, particularly women, are starting businesses, and the great majority of them are winning. They're not failing. And I think the image out there is that most of them fail, and that's just not the case anymore. Almost 7 out of 10 succeed, mm-hmm. and many of them are starting kitchens with a baby on the hip.
Yep.
So I'd really like to convince the women, if they have any inclination at all, to have their own business, so my God, go and do it. There are so many women who are working for corporate America, banging their head against that glass ceiling, and I'm just such a believer of building your own little room with your own little ceiling. And I just would like to influence them to stop, pause, and think, what can they do to take control of their own destiny and really build a business of their own?
What? How would they start thinking about that?
Well, the first thing is thinking about it. I am a firm believer in not business plans, because I certainly wasn't a good student and that never helped me, but I'm a firm believer in daydreaming. And mm-hmm. I think if they just can think, how do I picture myself as a success? I believe that's the beginning for many people of a business plan.
So imagine yourself a year, 5 years down the road. Where do I want to be? Is that what you're saying?
Or ultimately, because I remember the first day when I was in business, even though I had my little phone, I was working it out of my little apartment, I saw myself as the queen of New York real estate mm-hmm. with fancy clothes and everyone kissing mm-hmm. my ring like I saw them doing with the Pope on TV.
Right.
I know it sounds silly,
people do that here with me.
Oh, they do.
All the time. Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet this morning. I think you're exaggerating. But I do think visualizing is a very good place to begin. And then I also think that many people think they have to find the courage to jump off the cliff. And for me, I've always found the courage after I've jumped off the cliff.
Right.
When you're in midair, you have to figure out what
right.
to do.
Now that I've done it, what do I do?
Yeah.
Barbara, we got to wrap it up.
Yes.
This is going too fast. Will you come back another day and let's talk some more?
Oh, I'll be here first thing tomorrow morning.
We'll do it again. Give us your website.
Corcoran.com.
CORCORAN.com. Well done. Congratulations on all your great success. You're a real inspiration to the ladies, and good luck with your keynote speech today.
I hope everyone out there knows you're handsome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. See, that's all you got to do to get invited back on. Be nice to the host. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back with our friend Nell Merlino and Tatiana Hughes. She's a new friend. Stay with us.
I know I love you better.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.